Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, you're at the right place to get all the information you need to have the best-looking house on the block. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my longtime co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to February, everybody's favorite month. Is that right, Danny? Well, maybe not everyone's, but welcome to February, and I hope you have some home improvement questions you're wondering about, because Danny and I are here each and every week to answer those questions. So give us a call, send us an email, see if we can help you out today.
We certainly want you to engage with us with any kind of challenge that you might be having around the home. You know what happens a lot of times is, you know, you have want to find an answer to a question or figure out how to do something around your home. You go online, you Google a little bit, you read about six articles, and you sit there a little confused. Well, that's where we come in. We can not confuse you more, but we can kind of cut through all the clutter and tell you things that have worked really, really well for Joe and I. Joe has been doing work all over the country for many, many years, as well as I. So we can figure it out for you. And all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your opportunity to ask us any question, any comment. We'd love to hear from you. And we also love to get emails, and you can send us one by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. And of course, our Facebook page is another place that you can send us any type of message that you would like. And while you're there, you can pick up some more fresh, practical home improvement information, because we're posting there just every few hours. So that's the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. So, hey, this hour we're going to help a homeowner that has a hazy finish on her cabinets, try to figure out what we can do to make those cabinets look a little better. Also, more insulation questions. And we're going to tell you a real easy way to repair a hole that you may have in your drywall. And of course, Joe, I know you got us a simple solution queued up.
I do. And this one is a very strange one. And you have to see the video maybe to understand how it works, but it's how to cut PVC pipe using a length of nylon string.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, now I like that, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, what the tip is, but okay. I have used that particularly when you can't get that hacksaw or any other saw to it, but you can get that piece of string to it. So that'll save someone a lot of headaches right there. You know, I mentioned insulation. We want to kind of step back and talk a little real quickly here about foam insulation and how it can possibly affect your termite coverage. Now, termites are in just about every state in the country, some more prominent than others, but there's been quite a controversy about this overall deal about if you get foam insulation in your house, will it void your termite warranty or bond?
Right, and the problem is not all spray foams in every place in the house, but very specific places. And we're talking about where termites typically show up, which is down in the basement in the crawl space, and actually in the attic as well. But more often than not, the problem is in the attic, is in the basement, where the lowest wood members, meaning the mud sill and the band joists or perimeter joists, meet the foundation, because that's closest to the ground and it's most susceptible to termites. And of course, if you spray foam over on the inside over those wooden members, how do they inspect it? How do you see if there's termite mm-hmm. damage? So that's been the issue. If it was fiberglass or rock wool insulation, you just pull it away, and then they can visually inspect it. When termite pest management people come, they can visually inspect it by removing the insulation. But now with spray foam, Danny, that's the issue. What do you do when it's sprayed over the wood and you can't inspect it visually?
And we did a little research on this and looked at a lot of different organizations, and we have a real short little article on todayshomeowner.com. It's on our radio page, and let me just read you an excerpt of it, and it'll kind of summarize it for you, because spray foam is a fast and easy way to insulate your home, but it might negatively affect your termite warranty coverage, because when you spray foam over structural members, termite inspectors can't see the wood to detect the termites, and the foam insulation is locked in, unlike fiberglass or mineral wool, like Joe mentioned, that the inspector inspectors can pull back to examine those crucial areas where termites may enter your house. And another problem with foam insulation is that termites can tunnel through it and create a bridge over the treated areas from the soil to the structure. Now, some southern states have modified building codes to include a termite inspection strip along the foundation of the house. It exposes the sill plate and rim joist for the visual inspection. Ultimately, it is at the discretion of the termite bonding company on whether it will cover a home with spray foam insulation. So we just want to caution you, if you're considering using spray foam insulation in your home, you want to call your termite company to make sure your warranty protection won't be impacted. And I understand one state step forward, one state that has a lot of termites and termite issues is Georgia, and they actually have changed their code a bit to deal with this issue.
Yeah, Georgia, we just found out, is the first state to take formal action regarding spray foam insulation. And they're not saying you shouldn't do it, but I think they're starting at a first state, and I'm sure other states will follow, to say, before you do this, you know, make sure that you're not going to void any warranty with your termite company, that whoever's treating your house for termites. And also, I think it's going to force people to stop and think about it, because we're not saying, you know, don't use spray foam, or don't ever use it anywhere. It's just, be really particular where you use it. And there's a compounding problem to this as well, Danny, that as we said, most termite damage is in the crawl space or the basement, but it also can happen in the attic. And what they've found is there are many unvented attics now where they're spraying foam up between the rafters and they're sealing off the attic, so there's no airflow coming from the soffit up through between the rafters and out the ridge vent or gable end vent. So now that that's all sealed, well, if they go up and fumigate, what they used to do is fumigate the attic to kill termites up there. Well, if they do that now in an unvented space, unvented attic, they've found that there's the toxic fumes get trapped, and they're higher than they should be, and than they would be in a vented, traditional vented. So that's another issue. It's like, okay, so if I have a unvented attic, maybe they can't even treat the termites because it's going to spray this poison that ordinarily would, the excess poison, the fumes would vent out of the house. Now they're trapped in the house. You know, so that's another issue besides the termites.
Well, the main thing, just make sure you check with that termite company that you're dealing with, because it is their discretion. So it's not a universal code issue all the way around. But we just want to keep you aware of that type of thing. Hey, Joe, I guess I picked up a nickname this week. We had a great couple of Paul and Kim in Randolph, New Jersey, that wrote in, sent us actual video of this great project they did where they had this large out-of-date fireplace and they whitewashed it, did a lot of work on it. They were very proud of it. Great before and after picture, and they were inspired by some of the projects that they've seen Chelsea and I do on the Today's Homeowner television show. Right. So they wrote, wanted to show off their work a little bit, which was great. And they had a small question about what they could do with their hearth, and I had a chance that I was able to write back and make a suggestion on what they could possibly do. But here's the reply to my reply. I said,
okay,
thank you, sir. We love your show. It's kind of a running joke between my wife and I that we call you Uncle Danny. Whenever we're in a situation with the house we're unsure of, we always say, well, let's check and see what Uncle Danny would do. And then we look for a solution from one of your television shows. Although now I'm approaching my 50s, so I guess you'd be more like a brother-in-law. You're probably too young to be our uncle. But anyway, just thought I would share that funny story with you. Thanks for all the pointers on my fireplace. We'll look into those options. And we hope you have a few more seasons up your sleeve. Congratulations on the success of your TV and radio show. So that was
Uncle Danny. Okay,
that's better than Grandpa Danny. Even though I love hearing that from my grandkids, it's okay. But anyway, it's great that we get the feedback, and that's another thing that you can do by sending us an email. If you've got a project that's worked well for you, and you've got a little before and after picture, come on, brag about it. Send it to todayshomeowner.com/ask, and we will get your permission to put it on our social media channels. And and maybe inspire someone else that might be thinking of doing the exact same thing. So we can have a little fun, and our whole today's homeowner community can all work together to help everybody out with some inspiration, some ideas, and some different things that that you can do around your home. I've got a really cool story I want to tell you in just a little bit that someone shared with us recently that ended up with the firemen showing up at their house, but there was no fire. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. Danny Lipford here along with Joe Truini. We have a lot of information to share with you, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinginwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
The Today's Homeowner radio show is heard coast to coast on some awesome stations, including this brand new station that joined the Today's Homeowner radio network. A quick hello to everyone listening in Rogers, Arkansas on KURMAN 790 and 100.3 FM. Special thank you to General Manager Kermit Womack for having us on the air. We're excited to be a part of the KURM radio network and look forward to helping all of you that are listening there in that part of Arkansas with any of your home improvement questions. That today's homeowner hotline is 800-946-4420. Or send us an email anytime at all, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Hey, Joe, you know, even though you've got snow on the ground there, more snow coming, and it's people might not think too much about some deck work, I still had a little story here that came in a while back from a gentleman named Robert Seal I want to share with you. Here we go. He said, I set out to add a deck to the back of my house. The first thing needed, of course, was a series of six concrete post supports. Now, I live in New Hampshire, so I needed to dig these things really deep in the ground to avoid frost heaves ruining my new deck. So I started digging around the round holes, trying to go 8 feet deep, or as deep as I possibly could.
8 feet?
Yeah, because my post hole diggers are 6 foot long.
Right.
So this required me, in order to get the holes this deep, to lay face down on the ground, shoving my post hole diggers down into the hole as low as I could possibly go.
Okay.
Now, I was moving along there, and about the third hole, it started raining on me. Well, I was determined, even though I was soaked, I was determined to get this done, so I continued digging. The final hole was about 6 feet deep or so, and I was lying on the edge of the hole where, when the water-soaked edge of the hole gave away, I fell face first into this hole. So visualize this now. There I was, face down in a round hole with only the bottom of my shoes showing above. I yelled for help, but it was too deep, and the dirt was starting to fall into my mouth. The hole was starting to fill up with the rainwater, and I was starting to panic. I was there for at least a half hour with my face at the waterline, and I suddenly felt several pair of hands around my ankles. I was pulled out of the hole and came face to face with a group of firemen laughing hysterically. My wife had heard me holler, and they called in the firemen to pull me out of the hole. Thanks, honey. So can you visualize that? You could understand, because I've dug deep holes like that before, where you have your hands down in there, and because you're using post hole diggers down below the surface there, you have to make the hole bigger so that the poles can open up to pull the dirt out. I never want to do that again. That's what they make augers for nowadays. Robert, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and a caution if you're digging a deep hole like that. Maybe tie a rope around your ankle and tie it to a tree before you get too close to the hole.
Strap a 2x4 to your butt and tie it on there so you can only fall in so far. I say that's dangerous. He could have very easily been suffocated or drowned.
I know it.
Holes cave in all the time with people, and I mean, you hear about trenches being dug in commercial sites, and guys get buried. So that's another
example of, at the moment, it probably was not very funny, but after you look back on it, like so many of the home improvement stories like that.
Hey, I like the fact that the wife called the fire department, never went out and talked to him, by the way, hang on, honey, I got help.
Yeah.
So, if they get here in time, they get here in time.
Yeah, maybe she was finishing breakfast or something. Who knows? Hey, let's go right to our stack of emails here. We appreciate these emails. You can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Peggy writes in, my home is 20 years old and has beadboard ceilings in all of the living spaces. In the dining room, the ceiling appears to be rotting, but there's no moisture that I can find. My son-in-law went into the attic and pulled back the insulation, but found no water and no evidence that there was ever any water there. Is it possible for pine boards to have some kind of fungus that can rot the wood? Please help me out. I'm thinking I may have to replace the entire ceiling, but need to know the root of the problem. I have attached a few photos here, and the first photo that you'll see is in the attic under the insulation. The remaining photos are of the dining room ceiling. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Well, for any type of rot like that, even fungus to form, you got to have some moisture. And so maybe there's no moisture there now, but I wonder if maybe some moisture got in there from, some type of leak at some point, and maybe kind of got trapped below the paint. And, that can cause it to cause some water damage before that, but certainly doesn't seem like it would be bad enough to justify replacing a whole beadboard ceiling.
Yeah, and the fact that there's no water damage or no staining from that, that's a good sign, at least. There is a thing such as dry rot, which rots wood. I've never seen it in a ceiling with pine boards. Usually it's on a or along a foundation or something like that. So I'm not sure ordinarily you'd say, well, replace the boards that are rotted, but how would you ever...
That's a tricky 20 one when you got the tongue and groove beadboard.
Yeah, would you ever match it? That's the other thing.
Right, that's true.
I mean, unless you want to paint the whole thing. So I'm not sure what to tell Peggy other than remove. If it's really rotted enough, then you have to just remove it and then decide if you can patch it. If not, then her only option is to remove it all and then put up sheetrock or if you need to or whatever. But I've never heard of a home that had beadboard ceilings in the whole house.
Well, I've seen a lot of them in smaller farm-type houses.
Oh, maybe small cottage or bungalow. Yeah.
Right, that they would have them there. I know my brother's little house on his little farm down in Florida, every single wall and ceiling had beadboard on it.
Right, but this house is only 20 years old, she said.
Right, well, now that's a different thing. Yeah. His was over 100, so yes, they did that quite a bit. But I think, Peggy, you'll find that if you have to do some scraping, a little bit of patching there, you'll probably be fine. And if you have to go and find some boards to match that... I would suggest taking a small piece of the wood with you and look around at some of the salvage yards. I've had a lot of success in finding where people have torn down houses and have salvaged a lot of the pine out of that to be able to find a few pieces to help you out from that standpoint.
And the other option might be to take the existing beadboard ceiling out of a small room and use it to patch the larger room where the rot is. Uh-huh. Then you could just sheetrock or whatever you need to do in the smaller room, which maybe you don't use. Maybe it's a laundry room or a closet or something where you don't use it as much.
Right. Just kind of like you do on some of the floors. We've done that many times on taking hardwood out of closets and so forth. Let's get another email in here. We've got a lot that we want to share with you this week. Evan from Lebanon, Pennsylvania says, hi, Danny. We love your show and listen every Saturday on WLBR AM 1270. Hope you can help us with a problem we're having in our basement. There's a long tapered crack between the concrete floor and concrete foundation wall. It's over 10 foot long and measures about a half inch wide on one end and nearly an inch wide on the other end. Now, I haven't seen any water coming through the crack, but I have noticed a lot of insects, mostly ants and spiders. I'd like to seal the crack up, but really not sure what to use. Any ideas on that? well, you know, that could have been possibly a little bit of settling a while back. Could have been an expansion joint material they put in there that has deteriorated. But either way, you can clear that crack out really well. And I'll tell you a quick way. Just take an old screwdriver and kind of scratch it. Then take your leaf blower, concentrate it in there, and blow out all of the debris. Then you can use a backer rod, which is a foam type material that you can push down in there and push it down to where you about 3/8 of an inch lower than the edge of it, and then use a concrete repair caulk. Quikrete has a great one that you can just inject down in there. Sometimes you have to put a couple coats on it, maybe take your putty knife and use that to smooth it off even with the floor. Then you're filling that void up really well. Then if there is a little minor expansion and contraction that's taking place there, this remains flexible enough that it won't crack like using some type of mortar or concrete will inevitably crack when you have a little bit of that movement. And that's basically it. Just putting, you know, a couple coats of that in it and letting it dry, and I think you'll solve the problem. And Evan, thanks so much for listening to us there on WLBR AM 1270 in Pennsylvania. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We've got a lot more information to share with you when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Is your backyard more blah than ah? If so, then you need to enter the Backyard Paradise Contest, brought to you by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. One lucky contestant will win their own luxurious landscape. The Pavestone and Quikrete pros will design a project just for the winner's home, worth up to $10,000, and help Danny and his team install it. Plus, the whole process will be featured on an episode of Today's Homeowner TV.
So get your yard ready for warmer weather. Enter now.
Just go to todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, if you've ever used ratchet tie-down straps to secure something in the back of your truck or maybe on top of your SUV, you know, they can be very effective, but they also can be a little challenge to use. That's why Keeper has worked hard on the design of their combat ratchet tie down. Now, for starters, they've upgraded the webbing so that it's 67% more abrasive resistant and 30% more cut resistant. That means it's less likely to break because you pulled it across a sharp edge on a piece of, say, lawn equipment. Then they gave it oversized handles for easy operation and vinyl coated S hooks to prevent scratching and marring. And operation is very simple and straightforward. Plus, it has a 500 pound load limit, and there's a sewn in soft tie down point for loads that are a little difficult to hook onto. So if you're looking for a new set of tie-down straps, these definitely deserve a look. They're from Keeper, and you can find them on HomeDepot.com. Ratchet straps are something, Joe, that, I mean, they really are good to use, but it thank goodness someone's realized that they need to be easier to use because,
That's right.
You can get your fingers pinched, you have them all lined. I mean, it's just good. I'm going to go buy some of these right now.
Yeah, I know. I love using mine, but it takes a long time to figure out how to use them and to get them to work properly. Often the webbing gets tied up in, you know, if you don't pull it really tight,
yeah,
it gets clogged up and then you can't tighten it. Yeah. So I'm glad that they definitely need, they haven't changed the design since its inception. So it's nice that someone upgraded them.
Let's get right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. You can join us on the hotline by calling 800-946-4420. That's what Rock did in Illinois. Been looking forward to talking to you, Rock, about insulation. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate you guys very much. I listened to you on the radio, and I had some insulation questions for you.
All right. Glad to help you with them. And this time of the year, a lot of people are wondering what they can do to, you know, improve their energy efficiency of their home. So tell us what's happening there at your house.
Okay. Living in an old home, I bought it from my grandmother when she was still alive. They'd never had central air or anything, a wind air conditioner in the kitchen. While she was still alive, I had central air new roof put on. But I'm not a carpenter.
All righty.
Two of my big questions. My lady here, she's on oxygen. I don't know all the time. Like when she takes a shower in the morning or we go grocery shopping. And I wonder if there was different kinds of insulation. I don't want anything to, you know, have anything to do with her oxygen stuff.
Sure, I got you. There's definitely a lot of it, and it sounds like you're looking for someone to install the insulation instead of installing it yourself, which is understandable because it's not a lot of fun getting in that attic. It can be, you know, a little dangerous and walking on joists and so forth. And about the easiest insulation to have installed is a blown fiberglass. They will come out, they'll park there near the front of your house, they'll have a long hose go in right up into the attic, and a couple hours later, they're done, and the whole house is a lot more energy efficient, and generally, it's almost no mess at all inside your home if you get a good company. So what I would do is recommend getting, you know, a couple bids from reputable companies that you can find in your area, and make sure that they're bidding apples for apples, as we say. So one of the ways to do that is tell them that you what you really want to end up with there is approximately 14 inches deep. Now, they may talk about in R values, which 14 inches is, I think, somewhere around 38 to 40 R value. But you just tell them, say, hey, I want 14 inches. How many bags will that take? And you, that's where you can really get equal amounts. If you say, you know, give me, you know, 14 inches deep. It might be 14 inches here, might be, but if both of them are bidding on the same amount of insulation to be used, that's where you can get the fairest price. And then just check a few references to make sure that they will have done a good job in the past for others. And that's about as simple as it is. And hopefully it'll be cheaper than you're thinking, because one thing about it, there's no better money that you can spend on your home than putting insulation in an attic that doesn't have sufficient insulation. So you'll immediately realize a difference in your power bill.
That's what we was hoping for. I'm 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I could do a ladder a little bit, but not real good. Anyway, I called a local outfit. Guy come over. He was about as friendly as a porcupine. And my dad always told me and my brother, said, I always treat people like you want to be treated, you know. And
absolutely.
I always do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two real wonderful son-in-laws. I've been very blessed. And they're kind of thinking maybe we can do the attic. We couldn't do the walls or nothing from the outside. But would you think there'd be anything wrong with that?
No, not at all. Not at all. You can get a, and I would just go with a unfaced insulation. And there your options would be fiberglass, or we talk a lot about the mineral wool or stone wool insulation. It's a little more expensive, but, you know, it doesn't irritate your hands and so forth. But also, we just found out and worked with our friends at Owens Corning recently on a brand new insulation they have that is also not irritating to you at all and very easy to use. And basically, it's just like putting a blanket in your attic. You're just laying those pieces out. You'll want to see whether your joists are 16 inches, which most likely they are, or 24 inches, and get the material that will fit that. And then it's as simple as just rolling it out. And another thing, Rock, we encourage people, you don't have to feel like you have to do it all. So if the son-in-laws want to come over and put in a couple hours here and a couple hours there, every single piece you put in that attic is going to start you in the direction of getting lower power bills. So you can do it all at one time if they feel ambitious, or do a little at a time. Either way, no problem at all in doing it yourself.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Another question on blowing the insulation in from the outside. Do I need to know if somebody comes out, do they need to check the wiring or on some of the plugs to see what kind of wiring I have, or does that make a big difference?
Now, are you talking about blowing insulation in your walls?
Yes, from the outside.
Yeah. I don't think there's really anything they could. I mean, if there's anything that you're aware of electrical-wise that could be a problem, I would check on it. But otherwise, you should be fine in order to take that piece of siding out, or if they're drilling into the wall in order to pump that insulation in. But either way, I don't think you'll have a problem on that. That's a little trickier there. Attic, much easier. I would do the attic and just see how it works out, because you'll get a lot more bang for your buck in that attic than you will in an outside wall. All right, Rock, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate you calling us, and hope we are able to help you out on that. And if you run into any snags, give us a call back here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420. 800-946-4420.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Got a project? Tight Bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-to-1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond wood glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com. And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host Joe Truini. We want to remind you, now is the time to enter one of the most popular contests we have each and every year. It's our Backyard Paradise Contest, and you can enter it right now for your chance to win an outdoor living space from our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete worth up to $10,000. Plus, the winner's makeover project will be featured on our television show, Today's Homeowner Television. And to enter, all you have to do is to fill out the entry form at todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise. All you have to do, send us a couple pictures and tell us why your yard is in need of a makeover. That's todayshomeowner.com/backyardparadise. And again, brought to you by our friends at Pavestone and Quikrete. We're going to go right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Would love for you to join us as well here on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show by calling us at 800-946-4420. 4420. That's what Steve from Louisville, Kentucky did. Steve, tell us about this drywall patch that you're working on. See if we can help you out with it.
Thank you. Recently, one of my neighbors had a hole in a wall in the home she recently moved into. Mm-hmm. And she asked me who she could find to repair that. And I said, well, I think that's probably something I could handle. Mm-hmm. And so I went over and took a look at it. It's about a 3.5-inch diameter hole. And I got online just to make sure I was doing everything properly and researched it and found your YouTube about a hot patch.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I used that, followed the instructions, and worked perfectly. Got it fit in the hole and then spread the apron of the paper around. And then when I was putting the mortar on the mud, it's got some ripples in the apron paper around the hole. Mm-hmm. And I put the mud on it and smoothed it out and everything, but the ripples still showed. And I don't think it's going to be a problem, but I just wondered what I might have done to cause that, or if I caused it, or if there was a solution to it, because I just didn't, there wasn't any mention of it in your video. And I thought maybe I'd done something wrong to cause that, too much water or whatever.
Sure, I got you. Yeah. Well, first of all, for our listeners and so forth, a hot patch is something that Steve saw online that we do. And when you have a hole in a drywall, let's say you have, like you're saying there, Steve, you got about a 3-inch diameter hole. What you do is you cut a piece of drywall, maybe 5 or 6 inches square, and then you, on the back side of the drywall, you cut out all of the, you draw the circle of where, of what you're trying to fill, and you cut that. You score that and then break away all the excess gypsum around it so that you end up with paper and it goes right in there. Now, let me ask you this, Steve. Did you put sufficient drywall compound on the wall before you put the patch on?
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't want to make it too thick, but I wanted to make sure it was, covering the surface so that there would be something for it to stick to there.
Right, right. Well, that was done right. And then a lot of times the ripples will be just effect of it just not being stretched out when you're putting the top coat of joint compound on it. What you can probably do is anywhere there that you have those little areas, just take a razor knife and just cut it just a little bit, feed some mud back in there, and then continue putting the additional coats on it. Usually if you have just a small ripple here and there, that will do it. Also, taking a wet sponge and putting it on it. Joe, what else do you think on that?
Steve, I have a quick question. Did you mix this mud from a dry powder, or did you buy the premix?
Oh, it was a premix, yeah.
Okay. Well, you had mentioned it maybe being too wet, and that often will cause the wrinkles or the ripples in the paper because the paper absorbs the excess moisture. So if you're wondering, why it happened, that's probably why it happened. The mud might have been a little wet. Often when you open up a fresh bucket of mud, the water's sitting on top, and if you don't mix it in well. But in any case, yeah, I think once it's dry, there's not much you can do. You could either cut it away or sand it a little bit, 120 grit sandpaper. And if you do end up sanding it, prime it with drywall primer, which you have to do anyway. But I would do that first. I'll let it dry, then trowel on a really skim coat. And usually after 2 or 3 coats, if you haven't done this already, you can hide any imperfections.
Right.
And then, of course, you have to prime everything before you paint it. We tell people all the time, if you patch any drywall, if you don't prime it and just paint it, that's going to show. Because, of course, the rest of the wall's been primed and painted. So
Yeah. Just
make sure you do. Even if the paint says it has a primer in it, I always put drywall primer over any patch. Okay?
Sure. Absolutely. I was afraid to continue to try to smooth it out because I was afraid the paper might start peeling away, and so I stopped at the right time, I think. So yeah, I'll just put a couple more coats on it and let it dry and sand it smooth. It should be good.
Well, Steve, sounds like a great project and sounds like a pretty good neighbor there to help another neighbor out when they have a little issue there, saving a little money. Maybe you'll get a good meal out of that.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope so.
All right, Steve, so glad to be able to help you. If we can help you in the future, just let us know, and you have a really good weekend.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's great, though. Neighbors helping neighbors. That's what we do here
at
Today's Homeowner, and we appreciate being able to help you any way we can with any of the project that you're dealing with. Joe, we got a simple solution coming up. We're looking forward to that and a whole lot more here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
From installing a smart garage door opener, to installing a bathroom faucet, to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the time of the show where I get to sit back a little bit. I've been doing a lot of talking. So, Joe, it's your turn to share with us another great simple solution.
All right, Danny, thanks. You know, cutting PVC pipe is not particularly difficult when you're installing it, but when you're renovating a job or you're trying to reach down into a pit or a trench trying to cut pipe, it gets really difficult because you can't get a saw down into, like I had to cut a piece of drainage pipe recently and there was no way to get a saw down 3 feet in the ground where I found this pipe. So I used an old trick on how to cut it using nylon string. That's right. You can cut, as improbable as this sounds, you can cut PVC pipe with a length of Mason's line, which is nylon, not cotton, obviously. And here's what you do. First, you tie a wooden stick on each end of the line just to create handles so you can use it more easily. Then you loop the line under the pipe. And then all you're doing is just pulling each handle alternately up and down in sort of a sawing motion, for lack of a better word. And if you keep it moving, don't stop, but if you keep it moving, the friction of the line against the pipe will just cut through the pipe. It basically melts the plastic and cuts through. And the trick is to not stop sawing, because if you do, what happens is, of course, the friction stops and the nylon line will get caught in the melted plastic and it'll snap and you have to redo the whole thing. But if you keep moving, it'll cut through. And it's surprisingly, if I cut through a 4-inch pipe, once I got it started, like most jobs, once you get it started, that might have taken 30 seconds. But once I got it going, it went through that pipe in less than a minute, cut right through it nice and cleanly, you know. So that's the trick. Just use a piece of nylon line and just keep it moving and you'll see it'll cut right through it.
But if you think about it and you're out in your front yard and you're doing, you know, your drain line or whatever going to the street and you're cutting that, and the neighbor just happens to look over while you're doing this with this aggressive right. motion like that, it's like you're doing some kind of weird underground puppet show, you know, that you just, you know, about.
Like a marionette.
marionettes. And probably the guy will probably just walk back in his house and say, man, that Joe is stranger than I thought. We see him out there making snowmen and right. frolicking around in the snow all the time. Now he's doing some kind of weird underground puppet show.
You think it's the first time the neighbors looked at me working outside and think, what is he doing and why is he doing it right now?
Yeah. What now is happening over there at the Truini household? But you know, that is, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it does work very, very well. I've had to do the same thing with like water lines, you know, that you have right. down. And, you know, if you have them in a ditch, in order to get your saw in there, you're talking about a lot more digging and a lot more work versus just like you're talking about looping that Mason string under it and then cutting it. And it also cuts it very clean, even better yes. than something like a, you know, reciprocating saw or something along those lines. So, hey, I want to remind you about what you can see on the Today's Homeowner TV show this weekend. We call it the Front Porch Rehab, and we really made a significant difference in the front of this home and took care of a few repairs that are very, very common, like how to repair wood shutters, you know, without even removing them from the wall. We were able to take some treated wood and fashion up some of the little fins, put them right in, use the right glue to hold it in place. And also, Chelsea came up with this great idea of stenciling this concrete front porch. I mean, it just made an amazing difference in this old tired concrete and a nice welcoming feel when you walk up to the house. Landscaping, we were able to extend some existing landscaping, and the landscaping had grown up so much and the shrubs had grown up so much that if you sat on the front porch, you just kind of felt closed in. And we took all of those down, used smaller bushes, and really made a big difference on that. And also hardboard siding. There's still millions of houses with the old hardboard siding. We were able to remove some of the damaged pieces and replace that with fiber cement to where you know you'll never have to worry about it again. Now, you can find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show by going to todayshomeowner.com and check out the local listings, and we'll be able to show you exactly where you can see it. And you can see over 500 other older Today's Homeowner shows by going to Roku, Crackle, Zumo, Pluto, Samsung, and LG Smart TVs. A lot of ways that you can see it, as well as going to todayshomeowner.com. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up everything for this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lifford, along with Joe Trulini. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.